Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. I don't have any prayers in the inbox today, but fortunately I joined a little Telegram chat where we have some prayers that are circulating. All of those will be anonymous, but I'll sort of dip into that hat whenever I don't have an intention in the inbox. I did have an email in the inbox this morning, but it's not a prayer intention, so I'm not going to read the whole email and go on and on and on about it. But I do want to give credit where credit's due. It was a follow-up on yesterday's prayer, and it inspired the conversation that I'm hoping to have after we pray today. Now, our intention today is actually also from a longtime listener of the show, someone who's very dedicated to it, getting the word out there, getting the Daily Decad out among people. And his brother and sister-in-law are hoping to have a baby. They're trying to have a baby. But unfortunately, both of them took the advice of some bad actors and got the experimental gene therapy. I think that's the official term that all of the that's the approved terminology for those that are opposed to the jab. They're calling it experimental gene therapy. Chemicals. Put chemicals in your body that you don't know about. That's what I'm calling it. So they have unfortunately decided to put these chemicals into their bodies. And as we know, these chemicals can interfere with a lot of natural processes, like the operation of your heart and brain, but they also can interfere in the natural process of reproduction in women. And so I want to pray that they are spared those side effects, and that the health of everyone involved in this entire situation of process is protected by Almighty God, because they are trying to do something which our society, our devilish society, discourages, which is to do what God told us to do, to build families. And so they certainly are deserving of our prayers. So I want to pray for them today. If you have a prayer intention, so that I don't have to rely on that prayer group on Telegram, you can send it in to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And really any intention. It could be big, it could be small, it could be personal, it could be general, whatever the case may be. And as a reminder, we are on day 23 of our 40-day novena to St. Augustine for the healing of the crisis in the church. Now, this is a novena which I welcome everyone to join, even if you're not a Catholic, because there can be no doubt that no matter what form of Christianity you follow, you can admit that Christianity is not doing right now what we really ought to be doing. The disunity and the conflict are directly opposed to the intentions and the will of our Lord. There's no doubt about that, and I think everybody can agree to it. Now, we can disagree on what the solution to that crisis is, but that's part of the reason why we're saying the novena. And the prayer that this is a private novena that I say, and I made it public this year just because of all the controversies that have been coming out of the Vatican. But the point of the whole thing is to recognize that the healing of this crisis, the healing of this problem, will not come from communal human effort. It will not come from ecumenism. It will not come from proselytism. It will come only through the intercession and the intervention of Almighty God, and through the personal efforts that we make to improve ourselves, to fix ourselves, and to align ourselves with that will, and that divine providence which protects all Christians. So the whole point of that novena is both to remind us of that and also to pray to God to strengthen us to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in the way it needs to be accomplished according to His will. Now, speaking of the will of God and the mercies of all the Almighty Father, let us now put ourselves in His presence and see if we cannot, to turn a phrase, bend His ear. Of course, that's not actually how prayer works, but put ourselves in the presence of God and humbly petition Him on behalf of SB. We'll call him SB, his brother and sister-in-law, as they seek to conceive a child. Today is Tuesday, so we are going to be praying in English. So go ahead and get your rosaries. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Gerard, humbly do we approach thee on behalf of the brother and sister-in-law of our friend and the servant of God, who seek to fulfill the commandment of our Lord to multiply and subdue the earth. We ask you, Saint Gerard, by your intercession, Do not let their decisions, which they have made through trusting those who should will them good, should do them evil, and that rather that no impediment should prevent them from fulfilling the commands of their Lord and Creator. Let this baby be brought to health, and let them be healthy. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and God, who commanded all of us to, with right usage of our faculties, fulfill His will, and who sent His only begotten Son that we might do so. In the name of that Son, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our daily undertakings, struggles, strifes, and tribulations, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our petitioner yesterday, who is a returning intercessant, I suppose is the word to describe him, one who seeks intercession, brought up a very good point in the reply email to follow up on the prayer request about he had thanked me for mentioning his donation in the hopes that other people would follow suit. And I thought it worth mentioning only because it inspired in me some reflection that actually overrode what I was originally going to talk about today, which was the laying in the tomb, one of the sorrows of our Blessed Mother, and the participation in the suffering and death of Christ that balances sorrow with joy. But I think that we've got something else here that's relevant to the novena that we're saying right now that I think is worth discussing, and that is the question of unity and the united front that we as Christians, particularly those who are attuned to the political problems and the social problems of our day, which we as Christians must recognize, there are no political solutions to the problems that confront us. That's, I think, an essential thing. For any Christian worth his mettle, he must look at the situation and recognize that what we are dealing with is beyond the power of participation in the established political systems. The things are now so human that they are broken and fallen beyond our power to repair them. And there is only one person that can repair the brokenness of man, and he came to do precisely that. And until we all turn in his direction and petition him for aid, there will be no fixing of the brokenness here. Any system that comes out of human brokenness must by necessity and by historical inertia be swept aside and be replaced by a new system that will eventually likewise become broken, because human beings are broken and fallen and can do no good without God. And that is actually relevant to what I wanted to talk about, which is our united front as Christians against the evils that manifest themselves because of the brokenness of our political and social order. There is a tendency, and it's called purity spiraling, which I don't like that term, because it's good to be pure. The desire to be pure is a positive desire, and it is one that should be encouraged. It's always a question of, it's not a question of purity, it's always a question of conformity to a sort of ideological ideal. It's not necessarily a purity spiral, so to speak, but rather it's an ego spiral, egotism that spirals out of control and ultimately destroys any kind of group cooperation. I forget who it was. It was a modernist, I think Orthodox prelate, who had commented that... Now, when I say Orthodox, I mean big O Orthodox. Who had commented that the schism of 1054 was the result, in essence, of a failure to love. That may have been Athenagoras of Constantinople who said that. Now, that's a wonderful buzzword, and people these days love to hear about love. But he's not wrong, necessarily. It is a failure to love. Chiefly, it is a failure to love God. One of the things that we are lacking more than I think anything else, and I know I'm lacking it in my personal life, and I think we lack it in general in our social lives as well, is caritas, charity, the love of God. The love of God is all-consuming. It is total. It is complete. It is the essence of everything that we believe and everything that we are supposed to do as Christians. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. Everything is the love of God. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself if you cannot appreciate how to love yourself, and you cannot love yourself in a godly and proper way unless you love God, your Creator, in whose image you are made. The love of God must trump everything else. It must precede everything else. It's like love is like a train. It's like a locomotive. It has a track. The track is the love of God. And the whole railroad operates as one. The train and the track are one. They're united in order to operate. It's not like a road where you have freedom of movement and the car and the road are actually separated out. A train and the track are one. They operate together as one. One cannot operate without the other. A road can still be a road and be used for multiple purposes. You can land airplanes on roads. That's why the highways in the United States are designed the way they are. And cars can go off-road. I can drive through the grass. I could make a turn right now and drive through that field. You can't see that field, but take my word, I'm driving by a field. Trains and tracks are different. And that makes... And love is that way. The love of man moves us to action. The love of God roots us, grounds us. And one cannot really operate without the other. The track must be there for the love of man. Caritas must be present for our charity towards our fellow man to be rightly directed. You try to run a train, you can run a train, I suppose, on blacktop, but because of the way that a train is designed, all it's going to do is rip up that road and probably cast itself over. You simply can't run the engine on that surface. And the same thing is true of the love of God. Without the love of God to guide us and direct us and ground us, our charity towards man becomes perverse, literally perverted. It becomes twisted away from God. And that's why in our day and age, where everything is about love but nothing is about God, all of our loves are perverted. Even married love is perverted in our day and age, because people don't understand what marriage is supposed to be, what the love of marriage is supposed to be. They don't understand how that's supposed to function. And the same thing is true of our love of our people, our love of our ethnicities, our love of our, well, ethnicity is this sort of vague ideological thing. Our love of our tribe, because that's real. We're bound to that. Our love of our families. This is family, tribe, people. It's a hierarchical climbing. It's a ladder. These natural loves, because remember that in Mitbrennen und der Sorge and in several other documents, the popes did say that love of one's people, one's nation, and one's race are both natural and good. It's when they become idols that it's a problem. Well, what makes them idols? It's a failure of the love of God, who created nations. God gave us these nations as a means to find our way to Him, to make Christ the king of our people, and to allow Him to direct us and direct the shepherd that He puts in charge of us. And our love of God is what allows us to properly and appropriately love our own people, as well as loving what is referred to in several Eastern prayers as the Christian race. So you have two layers here. They overlap. It's a Venn diagram. Your own people and your own race and the Christian race. We cannot love either of these, any of these, unless we first love God. And God's desire is that nothing be lost, that there be unity and the tendency towards unity and cooperation. Now, not compromise. God doesn't believe in compromise. But cooperation and the ability to look past oneself to the equal to the fulfillment of the will of God. Now that requires everybody to be on board with looking to the fulfillment of the will of God. Nobody is looking for his own good. Everyone is looking for the good. Something of an ideal. It's a difficult ideal, especially for man. Man has always been defined by the desire to become God himself. And we still have that. We still struggle with that. In political movements, in religious movements. I mean, look at the way that traditionalist Catholics... Catholics are deeply rooted in the faith. We're tied to the one true faith. We hold that. And yet, I don't think I've seen any group of people try to tear each other's gizzards out as much as tradcaths. The attacks on the SSPX, the attacks against people outside the SSPX, the attacks of the set of acantists, all of that. It's really quite discouraging to see it. And they can be quite vicious, too. Camps allow themselves to be infiltrated by all sorts of people, unsavory characters. You don't have to look much further than, I won't name any names. It doesn't do any good. But the point of the matter is that you do see these, you see unsavory characters taking advantage of it. Because that's what they do. But there are no more unsavory characters to take advantage of this in fighting than the demons. And we do open ourselves to demons when we allow ourselves to be torn asunder. And that's true in political movements as well, where we should be lifting each other up as brothers. We should be reaching out to one another. We allow the demons to step in and say, no, 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 he's not worthy. And there's no godly compassion that exists for our faults and for our failures. Or there's too much of it, where we lie to ourselves and we make of ourselves this sort of sense that we are the most godly, the most compassionate, and we look past very real faults that we could correct. Because that's the proper way to approach a fault, is to attempt to correct it. Not to cast the person off, but to correct their fault and their failing out of love for them. And if there's anything that seems to be lacking among the political movements that we participate in, it would seem to be love. Love is decidedly lacking. Charity is decidedly lacking. We have an abstract love for our own, but we don't have an actual love for one another that manifests itself. And the reason for that is because we don't have a sense of caritas. We don't have charity. We don't have the love of God, which is the most important love that we could possibly have. I don't mean that to be a sort of lecture dragging everything down. Rather, let's make it a reflection. And I usually end these things by saying my prayer is, but I think it's better for all of us to pray. For everyone who listens to this, people who are listening to this because it's been circulating in the political circles you move in, people that are listening to this because you're a traditionalist Catholic or a traditional Christian of some sort and you've stumbled across it, everyone who is listening to this, I want all of us to pray together that our hearts be opened first and foremost to the love of God, that we might all know how in a godly and appropriate way to love one another, that the will of the Father might be fulfilled, that nothing be lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.